We're going to go on our Bibles tonight, back to where we were on Sunday. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to start reading at Isaiah chapter 50. We're really only going to talk about one verse out of Isaiah 50. And I'm also ready to go over into Romans chapter 13 tonight as well. But this is something that I think is very important. And again, if God put it in his word, then obviously it is important. And so I purposely skipped over the top of it on Sunday. And so let's start reading in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce of which I sent her away? And if you'll remember, I told you that he was challenging them, saying, I never did divorce you. I never did divorce your mother. And they were feeling forsaken in the land of Babylon, said, God's forsaken us. And he said, well, I didn't divorce you guys. And it says, of which of my creditors is it to whom that I've sold you? And remember, we talked about God doesn't have creditors and he doesn't owe anybody. He says, so in other words, I didn't divorce you. I didn't have to sell you into slavery to pay my creditors. Why then are you here? Well, behold, for your iniquities, for your sin. You're here because of your actions. You were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Verse 2, why when I came was there no man? Why when I called was there no answer? In other words, when I wanted to deliver you, why was there nobody that responded? And he said, is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke, I dry up the sea. He's reminding them of what he did in Egypt when he brought them out of Egypt. He said, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for a lack of water. If you'll remember, the Red Sea or the Nile River was turned into blood. And the Bible says that it stunk, the fish, and the fish died. Verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. That was one of the plagues in Egypt, was the plague of darkness for 3 days and three nights, a darkness that was so thick that the Bible says it could be felt. Then I told you that there was a division here. And that beginning in verse 4, this is the faithful servant. This is Messiah. This is Messiah talking here. And it says, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught or who are discipled. In other words, learned. In other words, I've got a tongue that I can speak and people can understand. And I can make people to have understanding. That I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. And then he says in verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. And all of that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ on the cross to purchase our salvation. Now, verse 7, we read it on Sunday, but I did not address it when I was preaching. And verse 7 is something that I have pondered and wanted to talk about for a few years now. And so, at least if we don't achieve anything else, we can at least let me get this off my chest, okay? And I don't think it's going to take for very long to me to do it. So we'll probably still have to go to Romans. But if you'll read verse 7 with me, it says, behold, the Lord helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. And there we go. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And if I can, I want to show you Jesus. I want to show you Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. So let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we are so thankful for you. We're thankful for your word. It guides us. It leads us on our path. Lord, without your word, where would we be? What would we do? But Lord, your word establishes us, God. And heaven shall pass away. Earth shall pass away. But your word forever shall be, God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, you can be seated today. So this was Isaiah's prophecy regarding the faithful servant, the Messiah. This is him talking. And he says, behold, the Lord helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And you have to stop and ask yourself, what do you mean I've set my face like a flint? Okay? When I was a little kid, seems like a long time ago now, but when I was a little kid, we had some relatives that came over that visited us, Gene and JD, and they both smoked. And of course, they're both dead now, so the moral of that story is don't smoke. Okay. But that's a whole nother, you know. Anyway, they would go to light a cigarette, and I was just a little kid, and they had a lighter, and they would hit that lighter, and sparks would fly, and then that lighter would start going. And as a little kid, I said, Daddy, what makes those sparks? And he says, son, that's flint. That's flint. And flint makes, you know, you can hit flint and it'll spark. And so you look at this and you say, well, you know, how do you apply this? Because I've set my face. This is Messiah. This is, let me just be very plain spoken here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I have set my face like a flint. And you say, okay, how do I apply this? Why do I know? Well, the best way to do it, I told you, as we've said before, is that, you know, let Scripture interpret Scripture. So let's go find where else in the Old Testament did something similar to that happen. And Carl, don't pull the verses up quite yet, but there was a prophet that lived at the time of the fall of Jerusalem. And you're going to say, well, that was Daniel. Yes, Daniel lived at that time, but there was another prophet. Does anybody know who is the contemporary to Daniel? Not him, no. Good guess. Ezekiel. Ezekiel was around for the fall of Jerusalem. Him and Daniel lived in the same time frame, okay? And God was calling Ezekiel to go and prophesy against Israel, and in particular, prophesy against Jerusalem and to let them know that Jerusalem was going to fall to Babylon. Okay? And so here is Ezekiel going to prophesy against Israel and against Jerusalem. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, it starts off up in, and Carl, you don't have these verses. I'm not going to just put verse 7 up there. But in verse 4, he says this. God says to Ezekiel, says, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. And then in verse 7, God says, but the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, Ezekiel. I'm calling you to prophesy. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. But they're not going to listen. He says, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Even in our English vernacular today, we say hard-headed. He's hard-headed. In other words, he's stubborn. And he says, the house of Israel, all of them have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. And then God tells Ezekiel this in verse 8. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, Ezekiel, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads, and like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. So now, if you go back to Isaiah 50 and 7, here is the faithful servant, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I have set my face like a flint. Just like Ezekiel was. Just like Ezekiel. If I could put it this way, I've said before that Jesus was the better Abraham. Jesus was the better David. That Jesus, you know, was the better Solomon. That, you know, Jesus was the better Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, but Jesus was the better high priest, okay? And we studied all that when we covered Hebrews. Well, here I'm going to show you that Jesus Christ, if you'll allow me to say it, was the better Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, along with all of the other Old Testament prophets, ultimately found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And so you've got God telling Ezekiel, I'm going to make your head just as hard as theirs, then your face just, it's like emery, harder than flint. And in Isaiah 50 and 7, you've got Messiah saying, I have set my face like a flint. And you say, okay, but Brother Wiggins, where does this tie in to Jesus? Brother Wiggins, maybe you ought to get the guitar out and let's just sing another song. That way it won't end quite so bad. But you will recall, I hope, I pray, that a couple years back we preached our way through the book of Luke. We took about 5 or 6 months. We didn't preach on every verse, but we kind of walked through the book of Luke. And one of the things that I told you about the book of Luke is that Luke jumps to the end of Jesus' ministry very, very quickly, Sister Carmen. Jumps there, whereas Matthew and Mark and even John just kind of go little by little through the earthly ministry, that 3.5 year period, and they don't arrive until the very, you know, like chapter 20, whatever, to where it's the end. In Luke, Luke is at, and this is, we talked about this when we preached through the book of Luke, Luke is at the last week of Jesus' life by chapter 9. Now, how many chapters are in Luke? Anybody know off the top of your head? I got 19. Do I hear 20? 21. Okay, 21. Do I hear 22? 23. Do I hear 24? Do I hear 24? 24's got it. 24's got it. Yes. 24's got it. You're the winner. There's 24 chapters, Carl, in the book of Luke. And so it's kind of interesting to realize that from chapter 9 forward is the week, like the last 10 days or 2 weeks before he was crucified. And what he is doing is he's making that final trek to Jerusalem. And he is, as along the way, and we covered this when we preached through the book of Luke, he tells these parables, and each one of these parables that he tells in between Luke 9:51 through the time that he ended up going on trial, all of those parables had prophetic significance about the nation of Israel. The parable of the prodigal son takes on a whole different meaning when you understand what Jesus was really talking about. And we covered a lot of that when we preached through Luke. But so now that we have established that Luke goes, just cuts to the chase, let's go to Luke chapter 9, if you will, and look at verse 51. Well, let's go back to Isaiah 50 and 7 first. So let's read Isaiah 50 and 7, if you will. The Lord God helps me, therefore I will not be disgraced. I have set my face. I have set my face. Okay? Isaiah 50. Now let's go to Luke 9 and 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up. See, this is the very end of his earthly ministry. We're only in chapter 9, but this is the very end of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ before his crucifixion. We're in the final, again, 10 days, 8 days, 10 days, 12 days, 14 days, I don't know, but we're just talking a very short amount of time. He is going to be going up to Jerusalem for the final time. And now let me ask you before we go on in this verse, when God called Ezekiel, he called Ezekiel to go and prophesy against who? Jerusalem. Israel in general, Jerusalem in particular, and tell them that Babylon was going to overthrow them and to tell them that the temple would be destroyed. So now here is the better Ezekiel, the Lord Jesus Christ, going up. And remember, Isaiah 50 and 7, he said, I have set my face like a flint. Remember, we all have that? Now look at 9 and 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Are you catching? Are you seeing the connection here? Are you seeing the connection here? He says, when it came time for him to be taken up, for him to be delivered up, he was going to go to the cross. He set his face. Isaiah 50 and 7, I have set my face like a flint. And just like Ezekiel, he had done it. And he was going to prophesy. And if you'll remember, Ezekiel went up there and said, listen, Babylon is going to destroy all of this. All of this is going to be gone. And what did Jesus say when they said, Lord, look at this beautiful temple. Look at these precious stones. What did Jesus say? Does anybody remember? There won't be one stone left standing on top of another. It's all going to be thrown down. So Ezekiel was a type of the faithful servant that is in Isaiah 50 that said, I've set my face like a flint. And now we see him here setting his face to go to Jerusalem. And Brother Carl, you also put the NET up here. Since you did, let me comment on that. Because you're going to say, well, the NET does not say that Jesus set his face. It just said Jesus set out resolutely. Interestingly enough, Carl, if you have the NET, which I've got it here on my Bible program, there's a little reference there. And you click on that reference and the NET says, literal Greek, he set his face. The New American Standard Bible, the NASB as they call it, says he was determined to go to Jerusalem. But there's a little reference there that when you look at it, a little note, and it says, literal Greek, he set his face. Okay? When you look at the King James Version says, he set his face. So, I just want, if I can tonight, to show you Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 50 and 7, and when he said, I have set my face like a flint, when did that get fulfilled? It got fulfilled in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Boom. Lay that shingle on the roof and lay another shingle on top of it. And it just all starts making sense. And I don't know about you. I just stand in awe and amazement and shock at the Word of God, how it is so detailed and how it just dovetails together. That did Isaiah ever know Ezekiel? No, he lived over 100 years before Ezekiel ever lived. But yet, you look at Isaiah and Ezekiel, and then you look at Messiah in Luke chapter 9, and it all fits together beautifully. And friend, this is the book that we are placing at the foundation of our faith. This is the book that so many men have tried to destroy and to tear down. But yet when you get inward and get to looking at it, you see the beauty. It's almost like a tapestry that you're just saying, my goodness, I didn't realize that all of this just wove together so well. And so anyway, this is what I wanted to say. I couldn't go into all this on Sunday. Okay, I couldn't go into all this on Sunday. But is there anybody here that has a question or a comment about any of this? Any questions or comments about any But that is very easily we are seeing Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 50. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes the whole Old Testament take on a new meaning when you realize that you're reading and all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, I'm reading about Jesus Christ. And that's where, and I've said this so many times, I don't want you to say, man, Brother Wiggins, you keep on repeating yourself. But if you'll remember, Jesus told them. He told those Pharisees and those scribes that had studied the Old Testament law so much. And he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and those scriptures speak of me. In other words, guys, when you're reading your Old Testament scriptures, Jesus was saying, you ought to be seeing me in those verses. And in order to understand it, and in order for it to mean anything to you, you've got to be able to do that. And this is why I feel it's so important to say, okay, here's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. He sets his face like a flint. Isaiah 9 and 51, Jesus Christ set his face to go to Jerusalem, just like Ezekiel did before Jerusalem fell the first time. Now the better Ezekiel is going. And there's so much more I could say. But, Brother Carl, yes.
I think you kind of answered the question. The New Testament writers referred sometimes to Jesus and said, this was done to fulfill something real.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, we think there are many more. I mean, quite a number of other scriptures that are referring to Jesus, but they didn't specifically mention something.
Yeah, you know, Matthew is, of the gospel writers, Matthew was the one that did that more than, Matthew did that more than Mark and Luke and John put together. Matthew was writing his gospel from a Jewish perspective, from being a Jew and trying to tell the Jews, listen, this is your Messiah. And Matthew wanted to prove to them. And so that's why Matthew kept on citing the Old Testament, he would say, that it might be fulfilled. You know, Jesus did this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah or by the prophet Jeremiah, you know, saying blah, blah, blah. And so Matthew was wanting that. But on the other hand, there's no way that Matthew or Mark or Luke or even the Apostle Paul, for that matter, could get them all. And so that is why I just feel that it's so important for us to read the Bible in an expository fashion and go through it to where we're just going verse by verse and just say, let's dig this out. Let's find this stuff. Let's know this. Let's let this further establish us and strengthen us, because I don't mean to go off the subject of what your question is, Brother Carl. I saw another headline the other day saying that America is making a mass exodus on Christianity. Now, I don't really believe that. I believe a lot of the people that are leaving churches and walking out of churches and not coming back never were really Christians in the first place. Who was it? John said they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us. So, but I'm just saying that we're living in times that I want a strong scriptural foundation to my faith. I don't want to base my faith on an emotion that I felt. I don't want to base my faith on some ethereal feeling that I had one night. I want to be able to base my faith, found it, and have it grounded in the scripture. And Carl, when we dig these out like this, it further strengthens my foundation anyway. It further strengthens it. Yes. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. I was planning on going to the book of Romans, but I've been going about 30 minutes here. So what we will do is read a few verses out of Romans, but I'm not going to teach from them. Okay? So this, you can read these verses and ponder them. And Brother Carl, I did go through some of your notes, and you were in stated in Romans 12 most of the time. And some verses that I had covered, and you went back and got some things that you know, you can't ever, you can always find new and additional information. And I'm still going through your notes and even adding some of them of what you said to my notes. But if we can, let's start reading Romans chapter 13. And we're just going to read this, and then we are going to be dismissed tonight. But Romans, let me get over there. Romans, I'm a little slow on the draw. Romans 13, and we're going to start in verse 11. And here's what it says. It says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And remember, Paul was writing this to a first century audience. He didn't write this to you or to me. He wrote it to a first century audience there in Rome. And he says, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far gone, and a new day is getting ready to dawn. The day is at hand. And that word at hand shows that it's, he says, so in light of this, then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in, and wow, this is a rough word here. This is, I believe the King James calls this carousing. Am I right? Am I right? Does anybody have a King James?
It says rioting.
What is it, rioting?
Rioting.
Okay.
And drunkenness.
And this translation here says, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. And then let's read on, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And folks, I've got notes on this, and I've got both barrels loaded, and I'm ready to rumble right now. But I'm going to let you, it'll hold until next week. And I'll probably even add a few more bullets to it for next week. But that's what we will be covering next week. Next week we'll be covering from verses 11 through verse 14. So if you want over this week to kind of be reading that, studying that, preparing for that, that's what we're going to be going on. So let's all stand tonight. Amen. And let's be dismissed in prayer. God, we are so thankful for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. God, I pray that your word would dwell in us richly, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, God. Amen.